Welcome to Semper Reformanda. What's up, Theocast fam? It's good to be back behind the mic on this side of the conversation to talk with our people, with our friends, with those who have begun at least to find rest in Christ, as I think John and I are still trying to figure out what in the world this means to really rest in Jesus, because it is so difficult for us as fallen people who always tend to revert back to some kind of works righteousness. We always tend to want to look back at ourselves somehow. And so if you feel like you're battling that, welcome. Take a number and get in line. And let's all encourage one another to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and remind one another that he really is sufficient to save even wretches like us. So we're excited to be able to talk with you again today. I feel like it's been a minute, even though in your experience, you're not going to tell, because it's like, oh, well, just podcast comes out every week. But sometimes we have to take breaks. And so we record a lot before we take the break and we record a lot after. And this is our first time back. And so, man, good to talk with you.
Yeah.
John, as he always does, does well, the like
before,
bait and switch
before
thing.
We jump into that, and, I have one.
Oh
yeah, I know. No, it's just administration update.
You guys have no idea like what goes on, man alive. He just pulls his stuff out of nowhere. All the pump fakes. I leave the floor. He drives baseline. Makes me look like an idiot. Anyway,
yeah, I believe in reincarnation and that my prior life, I was a squirrel. And so
squirrel. Yeah. Anyway,
anybody who's spent time with me, Justin, can tell you that I can move from one topic to another pretty quickly. And it's just how it works. To talk about SR groups, we are getting there. We have, I think, 29 people in training. I have 6 interviews in the next 2 days. And we are going to get these groups up and running.
Thank you for your patience.
Yes, it takes a lot of time. I have to do this in my free time. What free time? And so I know that many of you are working through that. If you want to lead a group online or locally, you can go to theocast.org/members. There's an application there. You can start your training in that, and then we'll schedule a call with myself or one of our other leaders to get you up and running. We're hoping to launch with 20 groups. I think we have 8 ready, and we've got, like I said, 29 applications that are in there. So we should hit that 20 pretty soon. I have no idea what's happening other than let's see what happens. And that's how Justin and I have realized that if you try and plan, the Lord changes it. So just like,
well, we do try to plan, and then we acknowledge that it is kind of it's an educated trial and error process.
That's right. Well, that's how we got to Theocast where we're at right now. So it's kind of like, let's just keep doing it. All right, I'll bring out the bomb. No, this is an important conversation that needs to happen. And it really is kind of the introduction to what the next few books are going to be going deeper and deeper and deeper into. This is the number one question and comment and email that we get nonstop at Theocast, where people are just struggling with the same sin or struggling with something in their past, and they just can't feel rest because they don't think they've done enough, or there's something missing, or they even question their salvation. And the reason I made the comment I did about it being a fruit is that fruits are not perfect. And they grow and they fluctuate. And there are times when this is why Paul even has to rebuke believers and encourage them. And often with strong words, he says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been calling. And then he names fruit, right? With gentleness and meekness and patience. Those are all fruits of the Spirit. And he even calls the Galatians and the Corinthians to repent, which is also a fruit. You need to stop thinking this way, that it's okay to do this. Or even in James calls them to repent of the way that they're thinking.
Well, bro, I mean, this conversation, we're having it about repentance right now, but immediately in my mind, the same thing could be said about faith.
Yeah.
And that's really controversial. I'm not trying to derail our train here, but it's like, man, your faith will ebb and flow too, at least in terms of your experience of it. Mm-hmm. And if we are somehow trusting in the consistency of our faith, God help us. And I mean, the apostles have to write things like that too. I mean, I'm thinking of Philippians 3,
right,
where Paul is writing again to a church and saying, I'm writing the same things to you again. No trouble for me, safe for you. Yep. Don't trust in your own righteousness. Trust in the righteousness of Christ. And so anyway, I'm agreeing with you, bro, that anything that is a fruit of regeneration, a fruit of God's effectual calling in our lives, our experience of that certainly is going to ebb and flow. And even in terms of just how obvious it is, that's going to go up and down.
That's right. Well, Hebrews says, consider how to build one another up that you not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
Sure.
Okay. So I think it's important for us to take serious the ongoing struggle.
Totally.
Justin, I'm going to kind of throw you under the bus, but not really. I mean, you got on the phone with me this morning and you're just like, man, I'm just beat down. Like, I'm just tired of fighting sin. And it's not like you're ready to give in and not repent anymore, but it's just that all Christians will feel the weight of repentance for the rest of their life. It's just what we do. We repent nonstop.
Yeah. I'll just talk really personally for a second. I mean, in terms of my experience lately, I think it's a wearying season of life for me and my family, and even for us as the pastors of our church. It's just been tough. I mean, everybody's been through it, right? COVID's been a thing, and life's intense. You know, four small kids at the house. I mean, all this stuff. My wife has started a business, and you know, here we go.
No problems. 31 woman.
Amen. Michelle Perdue. She is, man.
Dear God, don't ever say that to your wife.
There we go. Now we're going to have to do a podcast on Proverbs 31. All right. So basically, I think for me, man, how I've been wrestling lately is circumstances feel tough at points and I get frustrated about that. I am tired at points of battling selfishness, of battling just my tendencies toward pride and defensiveness and all these kinds of things, like the need to justify myself. Like at times you just get weary of it. And then even as I'm weary of it, I'm just like, man, I'm tired of this. Then the Lord will, in his grace, you're just kind of, something is said, you hear something, whatever. And you're just kind of, you're wrecked by like, God, I am a wretch and you love me and you're merciful to me. Mm-hmm. I don't fully understand it. I know that Christ has provided me righteousness and he's died for my sins. Jesus, thank you for that. And Lord, give me faith, forgive me for my sins and help me, you know? And you kind of, you're on this, it's not a roller coaster. That's too extreme. It's hyperbolic, but it's this ebbing and flowing thing of sometimes I'm weary of my sin. I'm weary of fighting it. And yet I want to fight it because I don't want to wound those around me. And then, all right. And I want to honor God with my life. And then I am renewed. I mean, it's just like the confessions say, the Lord renews us with repentance. Like he gives it to us, you know, and I'm not saying that experience is going to be the same every time, but the Lord continues to do this for us. And I think that we need to, again, like cast our gaze from ourselves and put our gaze back on Christ and God and his grace.
Yeah.
In terms of how he does it. I'm going to look at the 1689 John because I just want to read a couple lines from it, but I'm going to find that. You say something else while I do
Well,
this.
You're going to beat me to it because I know exactly where you're going. So I'll talk so you can get there because I was just thinking that I know what quote you're going to read. You know, when you read James, I'm about to preach James here soon. We'll probably do a podcast on it as well. When you read James and it's, you know, count it all joy and you find yourself in various trials, it's really hard to hear that, but in many ways, what God is doing is that he allows the storms of life and often our own sin to show us how insignificant our life is outside of Christ. I mean, there's so much significance. There's so much that matters inside of Christ. And I even think, Justin, some of the petty things that we repent of, we use that in a way, my goodness, was it you? Someone said it somewhere, and I was trying to figure out where. I think it was a tweet you put out recently that we repent of sins that bother us, but we don't really think about the sins that hurt and affect other people and that really affect the glory and the nature of Christ and the nature of Christ in our life. Well, and often sin bothers us because it's annoying.
Yeah.
But
and we're just tired of battling it, yeah.
Yeah, but when we think about what sin really is, it's... We're trying to be satisfied in something other than Christ. And that can sound so high level and it can even sound pietistic. But what I mean by that is like last night in bed, I'll just be open with and blunt with our listeners. You know, I became a little anxious about SR and where that's going. And we're about to plant a new church in 2 weeks with Patrick. And I became very overwhelmed and stressed. And at one point I said, man, who's in charge, John or Jesus? Like, John, just chill out. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Just work hard and trust the Lord. And if it fails, that God wanted it to fail. It's like, why do we stress over these things? Because in the long run, if this is what he wants, then just be faithful and see what happens. But if it's not, it's okay. It's not the end of the world.
No, you're right, man. I'm going to read from the 1689 a little bit and comment on some of these. So chapter 15 has five paragraphs in it. I'm just going to read some snippets because it's all really good. This is the chapter on repentance to life and salvation. I read paragraph one earlier, but paragraph two goes this way. There is no one who does good and does not sin. Even the best may fall into great sins and offenses through the power and deceitfulness of the corruption in them, along with the strength of temptation. Therefore, God has mercifully provided in the covenant of grace that believers who sin and fall will be renewed through repentance to salvation. And that's something, again, that he gives us. I mean, that's what paragraph one said. It's an evangelical grace. It's a grace of the gospel. Then this next paragraph is good, and I'm going to explain some of these words so that we don't understand them in a pietistic way. This saving repentance is a gospel grace in which those who are made aware by the Holy Spirit of the many evils of their sin, by faith in Christ, humble themselves for it with godly sorrow, hatred of it, and self-loathing. I mean, all I understand that to be saying is like what I just described in my own experience, where you're just like, God, I'm a wretch. I don't want to do this, yet I find myself doing it. And have mercy on me and give me faith and help me. That's it, right? And they pray for pardon and strength of grace. I mean, it's what we're just talking about. They pray for pardon and strength of grace and determine an endeavor by provisions from the Spirit to live before God in a well-pleasing way in everything, right? It's just so encouraging. Last little snippet just to encourage us even more. Paragraph five, God has made full provision through Christ in the covenant of grace to preserve believers in their salvation. Like, just let that wash over you. Thus, although there is no sin so small that it is undeserving of damnation, yet there is no sin so great that it will bring damnation on those who repent. This makes the constant preaching of repentance necessary. So we live a life of ongoing repentance as Christians.
That's right. Well, this is why there's so much confidence. Like, Justin, when do we need mercy?
When we sin.
Okay. So when he says,
when do we need an advocate? When we sin.
Right. So let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Word. Well, grace.
When are we in need? When we sin.
That's right. So we run with boldness.
I mean, actually always, but yeah. No, you're right.
But the point of it is that what do we do when we sin? We want to fix it. We want to show penance. We want to do what the prodigal did, right? Mm-hmm. We want to prove to the Father that we can earn it. And the writer of Hebrews says, no, you run into the presence of God to receive mercy in time of need, right? So that's, I think, what's so hard is that when we preach repentance, Justin, it's like, We're preaching penance, that's what we're preaching is penance.
That's what we really are doing.
And you hear this harsh, like, you got to grovel, and people feel like, have I groveled enough? Like, you know, when I did this.
And the answer to that question is certainly no.
No.
You've never done enough.
No.
Even if you're repenting.
No. And my kids struggle with this, and I struggle this within my marriage, right? I hurt my wife, and then I go back to her, and she's like, do you really mean that? Or were you just being sarcastic and saying sorry so you can be done with it? And we feel that, you know, like, oh, did I grovel enough before
God? In human
God?
Relationships, like, whenever we mess something up, it's like, I got to do something to make it right again.
Yeah.
That's what we think.
I will say no one has fully repented ever.
Agreement.
Ever. This is agreement. Why we have an advocate. This is mercy to receive that which you don't deserve.
Well, Martin Luther is sort of famous for saying something along these lines, that we need to repent of our repenting. Because and what he means by that is that our repentance is inadequate.
That's right.
And it is so imperfect and tainted with mixed motivations and sin that we ought not ever look to it as something that's going to give us comfort.
No. Right?
We're always looking to Christ. You know, and if we're looking anywhere else, we're going to be ultimately let down, and we're going to be constantly doubting and wrestling and struggling.
Right. And that doesn't mean that you don't repent, because some people hear me say no one's ever fully repented. So therefore, why should I repent? Because being in sin and not falling on Christ is horrible. It's miserable, right? The way of the transgressor is hard is what Proverbs says. I say amen to that. I mean, that is like one of the best Proverbs ever written, because it's a fact. And we run to Christ to receive mercy, because sin is what causes us to feel that separation from the Father, and we don't want that.
Word, Psalm 32, blessed is the man, you know, against whom the Lord does not count his iniquity.
That's right.
Blessed are the forgiven. But then that's like verses 1 and 2 summary. Blessed are the forgiven. But then verses 3 to 5, David says that when he didn't confess his sin, he wasted away, like literally was eaten up from the inside out. But then I confessed my sin to you and you restored me.
That's right.
Right. It's just true, man. Sin will bleed us out. And when we don't confess it and when we don't take it to the Lord, it only is harming us ultimately. I mean, it's harming us and our neighbor, but it's just like, man, it'll destroy you. I agree.
Right. When he says in the Psalms, restore to me the joy of my salvation, I do believe that sin, this is again, 2 Peter 1, where he says, if these are not true of you and increasing, when he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit, you have forgotten that you have been cleansed. That's another way of saying what David said, restore to me, remind me, pull me back under the joy of what I have received from you. This is why the preaching of Christ in the gospel is mandatory to the pastor, the shepherd. I mean, someone just put on the Facebook group, I saw it and I loved it. It says Jesus says, feed my sheep, not motivate them. Feed them, right? Let them feast on Christ, because that's what keeps us sustained and trusting and resting in the sufficiency of Christ, because we're so sinful, we're so distracted, we're so pulled away that we often try to feed on our own sufficiency, and we shouldn't be doing that. We should be feeding on Christ.
Yeah, and even, I think this is clear, like even to confess sin and to repent of sin is to acknowledge our insufficiency.
Yep.
And it is to acknowledge our need ultimately. And we're acknowledging our need of God and what only He can do and has done for us. And I know I summarized it just a minute ago, but I was just looking at Psalm 32, man. I just want to read a few of these words if you're okay with it.
Yeah,
I just think they're so edifying.
Yep.
And very relevant to what we're talking about. So this is Psalm 32, 1-5. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. It's beautiful.
Mm. And, amen, brother.
I mean, even that whole idea of like, in whom there is no deceit, in whose spirit there is no deceit, is not saying that you don't have any deceit in you. What he's saying is people, the forgiven are people who they're not trying to like play this game with the Lord, like they're better than they are.
That's right.
Right? It's that, no, I am a sinner in need of forgiveness, and I'm going to confess it to God, and He will cover my iniquity and forgive my sin.
Amen.
Because of what Christ has done. Amen. Well, thank you, friends.
Let's say this and we'll close out. We stand naked and bare before the Lord.
We do.
And when believers can learn to do that spiritually, where we all stand in front of each other saying, we are all in equal need of God's grace, amen, that's where real ministry and love and care can happen, which I hope can happen in these groups where you'll begin to learn how to care for one another and then take that back to your church and love and care for your body.
Word. Well, friends, thank you for listening in on this conversation. We hope it's been encouraging to you. It has been to me to consider these things and keep trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep confessing your sins to the Lord and to one another and with your church on Sundays, and then have the wonderful news of absolution and forgiveness heralded over you. The only way to live in this fallen world is we battle against sin and battle against our flesh. So we're grateful for each of you and the ways you've partnered with Theocast. We pray that you continue to do that and continue to spread the word about this message and this movement, dare I say, if we can call it such a thing. And we pray this thing continues to grow and continues to bless more and more saints all over the place. And you're a part of that. So thank you. And we look forward to talking with you again in this format next week. Until then, grace and peace.